Hello, friends. I just got done talking with Corey Taylor from Slipknot. He is in town June 2nd, 2022 for Knotfest in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. He just launched a charity called the Taylor Foundation, which helps fund charities like this one, 92 for 22, based right here in West Michigan. For those still fighting the war, you go to 92422, and that's 92422.org. You click on Upcoming Walk. Scroll to right here, Upcoming Events. There's Corey, the Taylor Foundation private 92 for 22 event at Knotfest. You click Register Now, all right? And then you scroll down, and you can hang out. The event is open to the first 50 fans. Corey will be doing a one-hour private event with an opportunity for photos. That's $100. That helps raise a ton of money for our friends at 92 for 22. So $100, you hang out with Corey Taylor on June 2nd here in beautiful West Michigan. So you go to 92for22.org, click on events. The link is all that stuff. I'm going to put in the show notes here. I'm just excited that it's all happening, you know. And this is, of course, for our heroes that have fought and continue to fight after they return home. So that is absolutely terrific. Corey is just a terrific, terrific guy, and I'm excited to have you check out this interview that I did with him. And here you go. This is my interview with Corey Taylor. Corey, hello.
How are you, man? You doing all right?
Never better. Never better. How are you?
I'm out on the wasteland that is the dirty road. You know how it is, man. It gets pretty crazy.
Well, no, I don't, but
I've read. Yeah. I mean, the tour's going great. It's been a lot of travel but the shows have been incredible. So it's been rad.
Do you experience days when you like, cause you know, I understand when they're planning a tour, you want to stay in various areas, but there are also days when you can't avoid a long travel day.
Oh yeah. I mean, but you get used to it, you know. I mean, that's the tools of the trade, you know. You're going from a cluster over here, but then you've got to get away and get to this region over here. And it's just, you know, that's, you just get used to it. You're constantly in a state of, you know, moving on, thinking about the next show as you're playing the one that you're playing, man. It gets weird though.
Do you ever think, is touring the lifeblood of this for you? Is that like something that, is it a necessary evil, or is it something that you wish you didn't have to do?
I mean, listen, there's nothing I love more than playing live shows. I mean, especially when I'm healthy and I'm feeling it and the crowd is popping and the band is killing it. And that's with anybody. That's with Slipknot or Stone Sour or my solo band or whatever. There's no greater feeling on the planet as a performing musician or whatever. But it's a young man's game. I'll be 50 next year, which I haven't really even thought about it like that, but, it's tough now, you know, like I can still do it physically, but mentally I am, you know, it's, you know, I've missed large swashes of my kid's life. You know, I've missed big moments in my kid's life. Sure. I've paid to make sure that they're taken care of. I've paid for our houses. I work and I can see the fruits of my labor, but at the same time, like you can't get that stuff back. So it's snatching moments from the jaws of infinity, basically. So, but it's tough.
You saying that, it's remarkable, because out of all the things in the world that you've earned and done, there's nothing that can hit you harder in the gut than, you know, the kid who,
yeah,
that's tough, man. I really, that can mess you up. And that is no joke. And I think we're wired that way now, because all we want to do is do fun stuff with our kids. So,
right. Yeah.
And so
I'm luckily, I've been able to to spend time with my, you know, with most of my kids, you know, and my son, the psycho that he is, he's actually traveling with his own band now. So they're touring and doing that. And I'm just like, didn't you learn anything from me? Do you see what this crazy stuff is going on? But you know, I'm spending time with the youngest and, you know, trying to be with her as much as possible. So it's, you just learn to be available when you're there and be available when you're on the road, you know.
Right on. I mean,
I'll tell you what, the technology has made it such that it's so much better than when Griffin was younger. And I mean, it was tough, you know, cause he was young. He couldn't see me. It was all phone call. You know, now there's FaceTime, there's Zoom, there's all this stuff. So you can see the people. You're not physically there, but you can see them. You can keep in touch with them like as much as possible. It's a different world. It makes it easier, but it still sucks.
Yeah, for sure, man. By the way, you saying that you're going to be 50, you're like a year or two younger than me. And I'm looking at our images right now. And my hair is white and yours isn't. And you don't look like you're my age. Of course, I look like I'm 60. I look like I'm 60, but you look like you're 30.
Well, I moisturize. You know what I mean? That's
shit.
I will tell you that, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I have to shave, man, because it comes in and it is full on cinnamon and sugar. It is bright white.
Okay.
And, oh, it's brutal. I haven't gotten it up here yet. I get it on the sides a little bit, but man, the beard comes in and you and I could be twins. It's that. Yeah. So
I had that. I started to add one spot right here when I was about, I was the kid who got gray hair early, like 20.
Wow.
It was one little spot. And then it's just my dad's head is, he's 88. It's shock white. It looks like, it's a staggering white. Like, remember that scene in Lord of the Rings when Gandalf went from gray to white?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's my dad. And I'm like, oh dad, you should grow that shit out, man. You would be, people would buy you drinks.
It's the kind of white you can see from space is what I usually say. It's just like, holy shit.
Fantastic. But he has got a full head, so I'm happy with that. You know?
There you go. Yeah, man. I mean, some people have to pay for a hairline that good, you know?
Yes, indeed. So I wanted to talk about this. There's an organization here in Michigan called 92 for 22.
Right.
And they reached out and said the Giving Back Fund, and these are all things, terms that I hadn't heard of. So I'm like, well, Corey Taylor is behind the Giving Back Fund and 92 for 22. I'm just learning about all these amazing things. Can you take me through the Giving Back Fund for people who don't know what's going on there?
Well, I'll adjust a little bit. The Giving Back Fund is actually an organization who helps people like me set up nonprofits.
Okay.
Yeah. So the name of mine is the Taylor Foundation. But the Giving Back Fund, they take all of the nuts and bolts out of it. It's some of the most fantastic people I've ever met. They, from day one, were super passionate about what I wanted to do and did everything that they could to make sure that not only was the start successful, but that the longevity is successful. So I'm very, very appreciative to them. Especially Mary there, Mary Mosseller, who helped really put everything together. I mean, she has been, I mean, just my angel on my shoulder, basically, you know? So,
okay.
You know, so kudos to them.
She helped you start the Taylor Foundation.
Yes.
And that just started.
Yeah. We just launched May 12th, I think. It was right around there is when we made the big announcement and stuff. And it's a nonprofit organization that I have started, not only my grandfather's name, but my grandmother's name, to help raise awareness, raise money, raise funds, get help for veterans, law enforcement, and EMTs who are dealing with PTSD. It's essentially to raise money for a lot of local organizations that may not get the attention that a lot of the national, organizations do. And this tour has actually been a great launch because I've been able to, in every city that I've played, I've been able to go and visit a local organization that specializes in helping them, whether it's Friends of Firefighters in Brooklyn, or even in Canada. We were just in Canada. We were with Badge of Life Canada, and they help with the families of EMTs who are struggling with PTSD and all the horrible depression and pain that comes with it. It's been really inspirational. It has actually really strengthened my resolve to make sure that I try and do something pretty substantive for these people.
So you've witnessed the effects of PTSD. You've lived it. And I think a lot of people have experienced this. And to go for the vulnerable population set as military, police, and EMTs, I oftentimes think about what these people have to experience day in and day out.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they compartmentalize that. I don't know how they can then go home. And that's kind of what led to this, correct? Right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it's, the thing that I realized over the years, being on the road and meeting veterans and meeting, obviously all of these guys from these men and women from all of these different walks of life, is that our music has helped them deal with it. And it was always strange to me. It's like you would think there would be more organizations kind of helping, whether it's with counseling or with the creative arts to help them express and kind of, like let go of some of these intense feelings and whatnot. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized it's like there are all of these places, but nobody knows about them, So for me, knowing what that can do to a family, knowing what that can do to the individual themselves, especially people who are in a walk of life where the stigma is still, I can't ask for help. I can't admit that I need help, And that's honestly the trickiest thing to really kind of deconstruct and demystify, basically. Just doing my best to help them.
Yeah.
It's becoming the main focus of what the foundation is.
With what you're focused on with those three subsets of individuals, yeah. This is also something though that, I mean, when you think about it, it also is showing that just people in everyday walks of life, that trauma is a killer. Holy cow. You hear about just the things that people go through and what that can do to them. We're learning more and more and more about it. You talking about it, this charity being set up, it's another step towards making it full front and center so that people can be aware of this and, hey, it's okay to, say, hey, I need help.
Right. Right. It's crazy too, because it was part of my culture growing up, especially in the Midwest, is you didn't talk about it. It was obviously something that was looked at as, thinking that you needed help meant that you weren't strong enough to deal with it yourself and all of this stuff. There's an old school way of looking at it. And so it took me years to kind of figure out that I needed help, especially with the traumas and all of the things.
Hey friends, it's your pal EZ with my latest and greatest marketing partner, Mint Mobile. I know a lot of you have been through the ringer when it comes to costs with big wireless. As you know, what you see is never what you get. You ever have that happen where you get in there and you're like, okay, they're like, you're going to get this, this, and this, and this, and then you pay us this. And you go, oh, yeah. And then, like, you get the bill and you're like, what the hell just happened? It's like bait and switch. And then you call in and you realize that you're screwed. So you're like, oh, my God, I might as well just keep overpaying for this. Never again. Enter Mint Mobile. You never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. I've done this. You should too. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to the rescue with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. My God! To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Zane. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and give the other guys the big heave-ho. mintmobile.com/Zane. All right, fine print time. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to the $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Things that I had gone through when I was young and everything that I dealt with, whether it was the addictions or the abuse and whatnot, I didn't, you know, it wasn't until probably 6 years ago that I really realized that I needed to start kind of putting the pieces in place to get help for myself as well, you know? And once I started doing that, I realized that it's actually a greater sign of strength to admit that you can't handle something on your own. You know, the smartest person in the room is usually the person who says, I don't have the answer for that. Let's find the person who does have that. And that is essentially the same situation that we have here. It's like the strongest person in the room is the one who admits that he or she can't do it on their own. And once you embrace that, all of this opportunity opens up to you. And once you find the right thing that works for you, that's where the faltering steps towards getting better really starts to come in. And whether it's you yourself doing it or providing help for families, because a lot of people don't talk about that, the support system, supporting the support system. Once you start kind of putting those things in place, you can help a great family who has fractured and is really kind of hanging on by a thread, kind of get back to the point where they can embrace themselves again, you know?
It's fantastic to hear. And also, you know, most people who have experienced what you've experienced from early on when you were just starting to get involved in the music industry and doing what you did, I imagine at that young age, you didn't think like this. You probably just wanted to be a rock star, you know, and do the things that rock stars do. How does a person develop to a point where suddenly now they've expanded to their repertoire and outreach program? Because that's what you've created, essentially. A lot of people would just kind of like shrug and be on their way, but you haven't done that. What's in your makeup that's caused that?
That's a good question. I've always, I mean, even with a lot of my selfish periods in my life and whatnot, and the more self-sabotage parts of my life, I've always been somebody who has thrived when I feel like I'm helping other people, you know, even at my grossly most depressive, addictive, I was always there for people, even if I wasn't there for myself, to be honest. It's just always been a trait of mine. And as I've gotten, you know, once I really got a handle on my sobriety and I really started to kind of lean into the life that I wanted to live, I realized that the moments that I felt the best were when I was actually making a difference, not just in my life, but in my family's life, my friends' lives, people around me. You know, there was a really genuine sense of satisfaction that came out of that. And, you know, the foundation was something that I've been thinking about for a long time. And there were various things in my life that kind of pulled me away, like, you know, various like dark chapters that I had to kind of go through and then come out the other side to realize it's like, okay, I am now in a great place in my life. Now I want to start I've done a lot for myself. Now it's time for me to start looking at what can I do for other people? And that's where we are today.
That's really interesting to me that you, the good feeling hormones that flood your brain when you're successful at helping people that's become your addiction.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, there's something inspiring that comes from seeing things that you've helped do,
right,
help other people, you know? And to me, it's almost like the antithesis of what is expected today. You know, the culture today is so almost tyrannical in a lot of ways, where you're not really encouraged to help other people. You're encouraged to rip other people down. You know, that's really all social media is. That's all the criticism and all of the, you know, it's more about look at me, look at what I have, instead of look at me, look what I'm trying to do for other people, you know? And I've never been one to follow a trend or follow or you know, do what is kind of hot in the moment. I've always walked my own path. From the music I make to the clothes I wear to the way I treat people. And that's where I guess I like being the outlier in going, you know what? I've had the attention. I don't need that now. What I want is to get the attention you're going to give to me. I want you to put on the people who need this help, or these organizations who are trying to help these people. You know, it takes 5 extra seconds to do the right thing in this world. You know, if you can wait 5 seconds and reset yourself and go, I'm not going to be selfish today. I'm going to do something for somebody else. And I'm telling you right now, it will feel 10 times better than that selfish thing that you were going to do for yourself, you know? And that's to me, that's a great thing to be addicted to, you know?
No, it is.
I'll chase that all day, you know?
Well, I was smiling right when you said that, because I'm like, I'm the guy that doesn't wait and you tell somebody something terrible, you know? So I'm like, fuck, it's so much fun to be an asshole sometimes.
Oh, okay. You don't have to tell me. I mean, I'm almost writing the fucking book at it at this point. But at the same time, here's the juxtaposition, though. You can do both, you know? True. You can be the guy who makes the snarky asshole remarks, but you can also be the dude that goes, oh, by the way, we're going to give all these people a helping hand and we're going to do everything we can to help them, you know?
Okay. That's all great. I love talking to you because you're kind of like the type of dude who, I mean, you know, makes you want to get up and do something. And that's part of what this is all about. I mean, you got it in the grand scheme, you're talking about the organization, but what I want to focus on is this group 92 for 22. What do you know about these folks?
I don't know a lot, to be honest.
Okay, that's okay. I can help you out. Okay. There's 11 people last year who marched, who walked or rucked, I guess, 92 miles for two specific locations in Michigan to raise awareness and funds for the 22 people, retired military or people in the military who have taken their own life because of the things that you've talked about. And so that's who you are helping. But what I want to know is, how does your organization help them? How does this all work?
I mean, there's a handful of different ways that we can contribute and help them, obviously with their mission statement, with the things that they want to do. One of the things I'm putting together for my website, once it's up and running, is I want to create almost like a national registry of these local places where, if you hear about my foundation and what we're trying to help and you live in a certain area, you can go on my website and you go, oh, this place is available here. This is what they do. Here are all these different things that they do for all these different people. Provide hyperlinks for you to jump to, phone numbers for you to call, like do all the things. That's one thing. Another thing is that I'm trying to raise money to donate.
There they are.
There we go. I'm also trying to raise money to donate to help these organizations carry on, because a lot of them do live on donations. And the more people that hear about them and that can donate, the better. But at the same time, you know, I'm out here right now running with the ball. So why not try and raise as much as I can? And then once I have a contest going on with Fandium right now. The top of the contest is two tickets, front row tickets, plane ride to London for my solo show at the Palladium in London in October. And there, you know, there are tiers below that, but we're trying to hit it as hard and as possible. And once that contest wraps up, I want to take about half of that money and I want to split it with all of the places that I've been on this tour.
Wow.
And, you know, really try to do, you know, really try to do some good, you know, obviously keep half, like keep the other half for, you know, administrative and paying the people who are working and doing whatever, but then use that also as another launching point to raise some more money. And I have some plans over the next probably 7-8 months of how I want to do that as well. But for me, the goal is to A, amplify their voices while at the same time doing everything I can to help keep those voices going. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so because it's nothing for me to go out and try and do this. You know, I have the reach where they don't.
Right.
You know? And that's the whole reason to put this thing together.
No, I love it. And, you know, just you being here talking about it and other media outlets and things like that, that's it. You know, you're an incredibly famous person who's doing this, spending time, and that puts the Taylor Foundation, it's talked about, and then 92 for 22. That's another way for people who want to support them. This is all, it kind of goes at about the same time, June 2nd in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is 13 miles from here.
All right.
It's going to be great. I didn't even know about any of this. It was someone approached me from 92 for 22. And then through just some basic communication, here we are telling the world about you, telling the world about them. And this is it. This is ground and pound, beating the streets, way you do it, just by talking
exactly.
About it.
Yeah. I mean, and we're so early on now. I mean, we haven't even been a foundation for a month yet,
right?
But we've raised some really good money. I don't have the exact number on me right now, but the response has been fantastic. The support has been incredible. This is probably one of the best things that I've ever attempted to do. Let's put it this way.
Gotcha.
I'm really looking forward to see where we go in the future and how much help we can do.
Corey, what's your favorite cover song of all time that you like to do?
Oh, dude, that's tough, man, because I am a rabid lover of doing covers and whatnot, especially in the right song, the right register. If you're not singing outside of it, you'd get the right group of people, or doing like a cool acoustic version of one of them. You know, I'm hard pressed to do. I will say, obviously, one of my favorite songs of all time is Wood by Alice in Chains. And I got to play that with Jerry Cantrell one night at a Camp Freddy show many, many moons ago. And it was probably the highlight of my life because he wasn't even going to play. And then some people talked him into jumping up and playing. And I was just like, this is my moment, you know? So it's still to me one of my favorite moments.
That sounds incredible. Well, I really appreciate the time. I wish you continued success and success on this tour. Everybody's safe and sound. And, you know, I'm just very, very happy that you were able to take the time and do this. It's going to make a lot of people's day knowing that you did that. So it's really been tremendous talking with you, Corey.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And thank you for helping me amplify the voice. It's going to be great.
The pleasure is all mine. I'll be monitoring you and encouraging people to, support you and any of the organizations that you are throwing your weight behind as well. So thank you so much. Okay.
All right, man.
All right. Peace.
Take it easy.
See ya.